Amen. Thank you very much. Please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 98, the 98th Psalm. The Bible says, "O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. The Lord hath made known his salvation, his righteousness hath he openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord, for he cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall he judge the world, and the people with equity." Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm that reminds us not only who you are, but that you are. And I pray that we would see these truths tonight, that we'd be drawn to doing exactly what the psalm tells us to do, and that's give praise and sing unto you this song of adoration, because you alone deserve it. I pray, God, that you would remind us that when we sing and while we sing, and the way that we sing makes a difference, and our hearts should know to whom we are singing. So I pray, God, that you would use this psalm to challenge us and encourage us in our efforts of even singing here at church. And we'll thank you for what you do in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So if you've been coming very long, which it's been a long time since we've been in the Psalms. Did you know that? It's been a long time. And we're only at the 98th. We're actually going to be to number 100, which means we only have how many more to go? Only 50 more. So we're doing good. Psalm 119 is like 12, 13 Psalms. So, but all of these Psalms, the Psalms always will end in some type of praise. And so it always baffles me, I guess is a good word to use, when people say things like, "I don't like singing," or "I don't like to sing." Now, I know that some people can't sing because their voice won't allow them to. You lose your voice, or it just can't sing like it used to. My favorite thing is when somebody has to leave the choir because their voice can no longer support their singing, and that's a real thing. And they still sing in the congregation, but it takes a lot of effort to sing in the choir, and they're telling me they're going to have to leave the choir, not like this, "I get to leave the choir!" Usually it says, I hate this. I hate having to leave the choir. I don't like it. I know even at my very youthful age, my voice won't allow me to sing as much as I used to. My voice won't support singing, and it bothers me. Now, it doesn't stop me while I'm driving, and it doesn't stop me from singing so loud I'm choking in the service. I'm just going to tell you, I love to sing, not because necessarily I think it's something that I can do, but it's something I get to do, and I get to do it for the Lord. Amen. Amen. It seems like, if we really believed that the Lord is who He says He is, we would just randomly just start blurting out song. This morning, I was walking up on the platform. Ryan was standing up here. I don't even remember the song I was singing. I know it's a song that I have not heard. It's an old song. "Won't it be wonderful there, having no burdens to bear, joyously singing with heart bells all ringing. Oh, won't it be wonderful there?" Oh, won't it be wonderful there? He's laughing. He goes, man, that's an old song. It's been a long time since I've heard that song. I said, man, it's been a long time since I've even thought of it. I was thinking of it this morning, just randomly. Seems like we would do that. Not because we can, but because we get to. Because of who the Lord is. That's what this psalm talks about. But all the psalms are full of singing and praising. You wonder, why do we use instruments? Well, because the Bible tells us to. We got it right here. There's several other places the Bible tells us to use instruments. Why do we sing? Well, the Bible tells us to. It's not that we're singing to gain attention or attract attention. We're trying to direct attention to the only one who deserves the praise. There's, you know, songs, worldly love songs are usually written and dedicated to someone. You know, this is dedicated to the one I love. There's those Twilights Now going, oh. Those kind of songs, though, their love songs are written and dedicated, and boy, they talk about it. I don't know if you've ever watched an interview with someone who's written a love song for someone, and they go into great detail how they lost this love, or they messed up this love, or whatever. They dedicated this love to this person. And every time I hear that, I think, man, what a waste. Because we can always dedicate our love and our attention and our praise to the Lord. And really, when you read this section of Scripture, these nine verses, here's what you can determine. This is the one central theme in this psalm, and it is this. The Lord is, so praise Him. No. It's not that He was. It's not that He's going to be. It's that He is right now. He is. So listen to, not very difficult to move through this, but it says, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. You and I should praise the Lord because of what He has done. What He has done. He has done so many things, and in those moments proved that He is. Can you imagine being delivered from Egypt? At that moment, the children of Israel knew that the Lord is Jehovah God, and He is real, and He is the deliverer, and He is the self-sustained one, and He delivered us and saved us from the Egyptians. When they got to the Red Sea and it parted, they knew right then, the Lord is. Moses didn't do that. When they got to the Jordan parted, they knew. The victories that they won in the Lord going before them and claiming the land, the promised land for them, the Lord is. And then verse number 2 says that He's revealed, He's shown, He's made known His salvation to all the heathen. So think of this for us. He proved His love, and while Jesus was walking on the earth, the disciples knew that He is the Lord. Right then, in that moment, He is. Now, I know that's hard for us to fathom, but when you got saved, He is the Savior. Not only is He the Savior, but He's the coming King. He is the one who has conquered death, hell, and the grave. So, sing. Why? Because He's worthy. Because it's your privilege, and He has revealed His salvation. Do you know His salvation has been revealed to the entire world? To the entire world. It's been shown forth in the stars. And it is shown mainly right now. You want to know why we're supposed to be witnesses and live a different life? Because we are the proof right now in this dispensation that the Lord is. No, not is coming, is now. That lives can be changed now. We are the revelation of His salvation to those who have never accepted Christ. And if they don't see us, what will they see? They won't see the Lord is. What they'll see is that there is no Lord if we don't reveal Him to the heathen. He is. He hath remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of the Lord. All the ends of the earth have seen this. You know what Jesus said? None of this was done in a dark corner. Peter said that. There was none of this done in secret. Paul said, none of this was done in secret. Everything, every time God has revealed himself, here's some proof. When you read the Old Testament, you know the main testimony of from the nations that were actually encountering Israel? You know what they would say? Even years after the fact, they would say this: we heard how the Lord brought you out of the land of Egypt. They knew. They knew. I mean, he's calling right now. They knew that he is. I only do that because I see people fumbling for their phones, and I know how Twyla felt that one time. So, anyway, it was a bad deal. So, actually, I was preaching one day, and my phone rang. So, it wasn't here. That's the bad part, because you would have loved that. It was at some preacher's meeting, actually, and I don't know why I had it in my pocket, but praise the Lord. Twyla wasn't there either. That's too bad. That is sad. So the fact is that the Lord is, I mean, the Lord is, he. It's not that he's in the trees. It's not that he's in the seat. The Lord is in you. It's a reason to sing a new song. The old songs don't do. You know, Johnny Cash, the only man who could talk off key and still make millions of dollars singing. Hi, my name's Johnny Cash. All of his songs, all of his famous songs, you know, the Cadillac song, Now I've Got Him Rolling Through Your Head and all that, the psychedelic Cadillac or whatever it was, and all of those songs that he wrote and all those songs that he sang. When you start thinking about, so for instance, right now he's stuck in my head, so I have to get him out. But when you start thinking about those songs, what did those songs, I mean, what did they exalt? What did they prove? What do most of the songs today in the world promote? I mean, there are songs that promote, believe it or not, suicide. There are songs that certainly promote despicable actions and disgusting. You know what the world needs? They need a new song. A song that is sung by people that have the salvation of the Lord. And can I tell you, that was what he wanted Israel to do? So if you take the day that this is written, we can certainly see that God is calling his people to reveal that he is in every dispensation. Every generation needs the heathen in that generation need to see that the Lord is. And right now, the way that he does it is through us. We're supposed to sing a new song. Verse number 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice. Sing praise. Sing unto the Lord with the harp. With the harp and the voice of a psalm. With trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord, the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. The world and they that dwell therein. Do you know that everything that has a voice is supposed to be praising God? No. Have you ever heard one of the popular singers, and I really don't know any of them now, and I don't know that this testimony is true, but early on, this was something that almost all of them said. If I'm recalling correctly, I am. I mean, even rock and roll stars would say this. Well, you know, I sang in church. That's where a lot of them started singing. In fact, almost all of them now make a gospel album. Well, I don't know why, because the songs they sing don't go with the gospel. Think about it. Think about that everything that was created was created to bring praise and glory to God. And here's what the Bible says in these verses. If you have a voice, if you can make a sound, make it unto the Lord. Don't you think the world should see us? I mean, even driving down the road, singing songs to the top of our lungs to the Lord. But certainly when we come into the place, the church, where we're gathered together, why do we sing? Because the Lord is, and the Lord deserves the praise. He deserves the singing. But not only that, we have the privilege and the honor to lift our voice toward Him. And everyone that has a voice should utter praise to God. Everything that has breath in it should utter praise. Not only that, but when Jesus does come upon the earth and He does reign, nature, what we call nature, the nature of things, will change. The deserts will bloom. I mean, think about when Ezekiel is talking about the water that flowed out from under the throne and how he went farther and farther to the point he couldn't get into it, and how those waters were healing waters and how they spread across the desert and the trees grew. And you then go into Jeremiah and Isaiah, and they're talking about this wonderful water that is healing and all of the things. In those days, the people on the earth are going to praise the Lord because He is present. But He is present now. And everyone that has a voice that is born again is supposed to praise the Lord. We're supposed to sing unto the Lord, even if it's hard. You're supposed to do it with the trumpets. Well, I just don't like the trumpets. Well, they're in there. Well, I don't like the piano. Well, it's in there. Well, I don't like, and it's not piano specifically, but it is a harp. I don't like the person playing the xylophone. Every once in a while, I get those ringing notes in my ears, and I'm like, that is so good. Because everything that is able to proclaim praise to the Lord should do it, especially when we're in this building. That's why we're here. Not singing to one another. You know what? I don't know. I don't really listen to people sing. If they're singing loud, I'm fine with that. I don't listen to whether they're hitting notes. You might think that I would be critical of that. I'm only critical of that with the choir, but I'm not. I'm not, because I don't want to stand up here and tell a falsehood, but or a lie. But when the congregation's singing, I mean, if you are a person who goes, "Oh, that person can't sing," while they're singing, here's what I have to say to you: shame. Why would you do that? If you hear a piano clunk, because pianos clunk sometimes, they don't always make music. Sometimes you shouldn't go, "Oh, why is that person playing?" If you hear somebody up here singing a solo and they're not hitting a note, you shouldn't go, "Oh." Here's what you should be saying: well, at least they're praising the Lord. It's the right song. It's the right message. Why? That's what we're supposed to do. Everything that has breath was created to praise the Lord. When you are saved, when salvation has been revealed to you and you've received it, you should sing. Look, opening a songbook and singing is the right thing to do. Why? Because you're not singing. Look, I'm not looking around. I don't on purpose. I stopped this whenever I was a music director long ago, especially when I was a music director, because I would desire in my flesh to incite people to sing. I don't do that anymore. I don't look and see who's singing, who's not singing. Oh, they're not singing. I wonder what their problem is. I don't. Some people can't do it because their voice won't allow them, their lungs won't allow them, but they want to. You know, you can sing in your heart, but there should be a new song there. Listen, before we move on, if there's an old song in your heart still and you're still singing the old song, you're singing the wrong song. When you and I are saved, there should be a new song because of His salvation. We were created to sing and praise Him. The Bible also says there in verse number 8, let the floods clap their hands, let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. Why? Because they are before the Lord. What? How are they before the Lord? They're before the Lord because the Lord is. Everything that goes on in the planet, God is there. The Lord is watching. He's not only observing, but He's also putting His hand in places. So like we saw this morning, we can see the flashes of light in the darkness occasionally to gain our attention, to focus upon Him. The Bible says the hills should clap, or the floods should clap, the hills should be joyful before the Lord. Why? Because He's right there. And then the last part of that verse says, with righteousness shall He judge the world and the people with equity. Our greatest celebration or reason for celebration is this. In fact, I had this conversation just a moment ago. I'm so thankful that God's not like us. I am thankful that, hear my words and process them. I need to be more like Him, but I am very thankful He's not me. Why? Because I look at somebody and go, they don't deserve to be saved. Or I look at someone and say, man, they've messed up so bad, they don't deserve anything. No, listen, hear me. That's what we do. But the Lord, the Bible says right here, He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to judge the whole world in righteousness. Righteousness means, and really, if you want to know exactly how He's going to judge, all you have to do is read this. He's not going to stray from this. You know why? He's a righteous judge. Righteous judges don't judge you for what you don't know. Now wait, hold on. So when you stand before the throne and you don't know something that's in here, oh, you messed up, because He gave you what you need to know. It's like when you're driving through a school zone and you didn't see the sign. And you say to the officer, well, where's the sign? I didn't see the sign. Doesn't matter. School zone speed limit's 20. You should have been going 20. If you've ever driven through Andover during school at... But now, I go 20 in there because they're sitting there like eagles waiting for a rat. And I've seen them pull them over three at a time. They make a lot of money in their school zones. A lot of money. You're driving through there. It is very clearly marked, but when you get in the middle of it, it's so long because there's like four schools there, you kind of forget. Now, I am thankful that I am so concerned about getting a ticket there that I don't even think about 1 mile over, not even in my mind, because they have no mercy there. And I could say, well, I mean, on my way to the hospital. Well, they say you're in the wrong zone, so that'd be bad. Well, I'm on my way. I didn't see the sign. Okay, you're going to be held accountable for everything that's in this book. But hear me, the Lord judges righteously. You have an opportunity to pick it up and know it. He's not going to make up things on the throne. Oh, well, you know, I feel like this today. I don't know if you had more than one child, but sometimes you have this, oh, I don't want to mess with them today. I'm not going to mess with this child. Remember the first child? Because the first children always get the worst of it. And then the next child, the people don't care. By the time it's the third child, they're throwing them in the back seat. Who cares if they're buckled? I don't care. It's fine. They're the third child. Fourth child, do they exist? I mean, where did they go? That is the way we are. We pick and choose. Fifth child, I like him because he's the last one. Because we're not having any more children. But the middle child, we do. We judge things based on how we feel that day. Do you know God? God has no feeling about truth. I know that sounds cold, but actually it's wonderful. Because he's not going to change his mind in the middle of the judgment. He's not going to look at somebody and say, well, you were raised a certain... No, no, no. He's going to say, nature revealed. All nature gave manifold witness to me. The heavens gave witness to me. Not only that, but my word was readily available. And for you and I, when we're standing before him, before the throne, you need to know that he's going to judge the entire earth righteously. That is a great reason to sing. Why? He's not like me. He is holy God, and he will judge the people with equity. Because he doesn't look around and say, I know that there are people who believe this, and Calvinism is growing at an exponential rate, almost like it was during the Protestant era. Once again, it is on fire. Because if you're a Calvinist, you can say, well, this person, I mean, they can sit here. So you could say this about, they could say this about Mark, and this is one of the reasons you can say to yourself, I'm thankful God's not this way. So they could say, well, I mean, he preaches, he's preached, he teaches a Sunday school class, he even dresses nice for church. He shows up and sits on the second row, mainly because his wife makes him, but he sits on the second row, and they sit there, and they've raised good children, but there's a possibility that he will never really, truly accept Christ. And there's no way really to know. No, 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 no. God told us how every person will be saved. He doesn't say, well, that works for Mark, but that doesn't work for Crystal. He doesn't say, Ben is never going to get it. He doesn't say that. Everyone has free, open access because God is an equal judge. The Bible tells us that he put all men under this category, for all have sinned. That's his righteous judgment. And under one man, because of Adam, all have sinned. But because of Jesus, all can be saved. So this is God's plan. It's a reason to sing and rejoice. Why? He's not like me. He's not like religion. He's not like the government. Somebody say amen. He's not like doctors or lawyers. He is God, and he judges righteously. And he is right now righteously judging. And he is right now equally opening grace to every person. Everyone has access to it. Well, what about the people who are unreached? That is our job. God has given opportunity. Are we doing our part to sing a new song and proclaim his name to all the heathen so that they can see his salvation, so they can see his wondrous works in creation, and so that they can see the judge is coming and he's given you an opportunity to escape punishment for sin, because he loves you and he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. See, we would pick and choose, but God is not so. And when you think about it, when you get a chance to look in the mirror and you see the person looking back at you, remember that God saved you. Even you. And that was the conclusion we came to. God saved me. I mean, I don't deserve salvation any more than anyone else in this room. Because God is not like us. He died once, the Bible says, and for all. It's a great reason to sing. Anytime there's a service, there should be some type of singing. One of the things I love is when a person that is a member of Temple Baptist Church, and they are faithful, and their family stays connected. Everybody stays connected to them, and they have lined out their service, and they want the congregation to sing. You know why I like that? Because it reminds all of us that that person in their life wanted to proclaim to the heathen that the Lord's salvation has been revealed, that it's open for everyone, and He's proven it by His strong arm and His right arm, and He's reached down into the world, and He's made it plain that He is powerful enough to conquer sin. And you and I have a responsibility to sing those praises to Him just because we get to do it. And because He is. Right now, He is here. He is in me. He is ready to work. The Lord is. So, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song, for He hath done marvelous things. His right hand and His holy arm hath gotten Him the victory. The Lord hath made known His salvation. His righteousness hath He openly showed in the sight of the heathen. He hath remembered His mercy and His truth toward the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. I'm thinking about this just now, popped in my head. One of the things that Harper and Harrison really love about Heidi is that she just bursts out in song in the middle of the car as loud as she can. And she's usually singing songs about Jesus. Oh, they're going, oh my word, would you? It just makes it louder. That's the way we should be. Sing louder and louder so people can hear that God is. Listen. Sing unto the Lord with the harp and the voice of a psalm, with trumpets and sound of cornet. Make a joyful noise before the Lord the King. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For He cometh to judge the earth. With righteousness shall He judge the world, and the people with equity. I'm telling you, we should sing because He is. He was and is. He is and is. He will be and is. It's a great reason to sing. Let's have a word of prayer together. Every head bowed, every eye closed.